Welcome. You're listening to Way of Truth, the radio. I'm Brent Chance, your host. Today we're starting our new series, Hurt by the Church, Finding Forgiveness and Peace. And you know, I don't know, just coming off our Drugs and Demons series, which was a phenomenal series. I encourage all of you to go and listen to that. I don't know if there's a more sensitive subject right now that's out there. And certainly one that's one of the most painful ones. Painful topics is the one that when you start dealing with people that have been hurt or felt like they've been wronged by the church or somebody in church leadership. But I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball tonight. I want you to kind of listen to what I'm getting ready to read here, and then we'll come back and unpack it a little bit. 90% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. 1,500 pastors quit each month. Only 10% will retire as pastors. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressure of ministry. 78% of pastors have no close friends. Now, folks, there's a reason why I'm starting off by talking about pastors. Because I think sometimes we feel like the laity, that the church members are the only ones that ever get hurt. And I can tell you that there's probably no greater section of the church that gets hurt worse or that has it harder than the pastors do. You know, could you imagine trying to pastor a flock of a few hundred, let alone a few thousand people, and what that must be like, and the demands that puts on a man's life? It's just unbelievable, uncomprehendable. And so pastors, you know, they're on the front lines. They get hurt probably just as much as anybody else. And you know, Christendom is just littered with pastors that have been hurt in its wake. And so, you know, but like I said, this is a very sensitive subject. It's a very personal subject for me. If you go back and listen to episode one, I kind of touch on some of the problems that I've had and the hurts I've had by the church and how to deal with that. But what we really want to focus on in this series is not just the hurts and how those came about and the abuses, but we also want to be able to focus on the healing and how we can find forgiveness and how we can find peace. You know, when I say this is a very, not necessarily hot topic, but just an important topic, you know, when you do a Google search for the term, just Google search the term hurt by the church, and when I did it, it returned 77.5 million results, 14 million, I think, videos on the subject. I mean, there is just so many people out there that have been felt or either feel like or have been hurt by the church. And but the reality of it is that hurt is a fact of life. And the church is really no different. And the reason why I say that is because the church is people. A big part of it is people. In fact, if you've ever heard me talk or been around me much, I have a saying that, you know, when people ask me, you know, hey, what's the greatest thing about the church? I always say, well, that's easy. It's the people. And they go, well, what's the thing you hate the most or you don't like the most about the church? And I said, unfortunately, it's the same answer. Most of the time, it's the people. It's certainly not God or Christ or the Holy Spirit. I mean, they never disappoint. They never let me down. The only time I've experienced disappointment and hurt or being let down was by people. And so I think that's very important. You know, when I got born again, one of the words that I feel like God impressed upon me was to put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone and not in man. And that if I would do that, the promise I felt that He made to me was I would never be disappointed. And you want to know something? I really have never been disappointed. Now, have I been hurt? Yes. But when I was hurt by some people in the church, for me, God quickly brought that back around to me, that word He gave me. He quickly brought that back around to me, and instantly I felt at peace. I went from emotional weeping to an instant peace once He brought that back to me. And so He just kind of reaffirmed that to me. And, you know, I want to read something. I came across in doing some research for the show. One of the things I found was a saying. It was on Christianity Today, I think it was. But it says, I do not deny that many of us have been victims of the sinful, selfish, and hurtful acts of those in and around the church. but we must also acknowledge the real possibility that sometimes we choose to remain victims when we have the opportunity to move on. It is a waste of our spiritual potential to fixate on how events of the past could have or should have been different. And that was written by a guy named Dave Burchett, and I don't know Dave at all. I just loved that saying. I wanted to share that with you guys. And so, you know, one of the things I think what we need to do, especially those of us that have been hurt in the church and been felt like we've been wronged in the church, is we need to learn how to practice what I call shared grace, okay? And the reason why we want to share grace is because, you know, we want to extend grace because one day we're going to need it. You know, one day we're going to be on the giving end of hurting somebody, whether we mean to or not. The reality is that we also are human, we also are flawed, and we're going to let people down. And so as a result of that, what's going to happen is we're going to need grace ourselves. So we want to be able to practice shared grace. We want to not only be able to receive grace from others, we want to be able to extend grace to others. And so it's very important. What grace does, grace acts to settle the offense. In other words, when you extend grace or someone extends grace to you in a situation, it acts to settle or calm the offense or the problem. And that's what grace does. It calms the problem. It settles the offense. You know, the other thing I think about often, too, is we have to remember is that when unchurched people hear of the hurts of the people from inside the church and the things that are not being handled scripturally, when things aren't being handled scripturally inside the church, it really disillusions the rest of the world that the church doesn't even have anything to offer them. Because if this is the way that we handle our problems inside the church, they're not seeing any difference. When they see people abusing their authority or people lording over people or people backstabbing and gossiping and causing people's reputations to get harmed or whatever the offense is, when the church hears about that or sees that, it disillusions the church. And how sad. How sad, because it keeps them from meeting and seeing Jesus because we're in there and we're not practicing what we should be doing scripturally. Scripture is very clear on how we should handle conflict with one another. And yet, you know, most of the time, unfortunately, it doesn't get handled properly. You know, I came across a verse I was reading. I'm in the book of Romans right now, and one of the things in Romans, I just came across this today, and I thought, wow, that would be great for the show. So I wanted to share it with you. It's Romans 8, 5, and 6, and I'm going to read from the NIV version. It reads a little easier, but basically it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life, and key word here at the end, the mind governed by the Spirit is of life and peace. Peace. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. And so we should be able to live by the Spirit, even though we may be hurt in the flesh, and recover and heal and forgive and move forward and not carry that burden the rest of our life. You know, I was listening to, in prayer, you know, preparing for the show, I was watching a video of a pastor, and he was talking about his past life and that, you know, how much he had been hurt. And one of the things he says, well, he started in the ministry when he was 26 years old, and one of the first people he ever counseled was a 60-year-old man. And he said the 60-year-old man came into his office, and as they begin to share and he began to kind of work with him and unpack some things in his past, he said that, you know, the 60-year-old man just started weeping because he was recalling some very hurtful things that his father had said to him that so impacted him when he was 10 years old. Now, mind you, this man's 60 years old. 50 years, this man. And the pastor said the hurt was as real and as sharp and as painful today, 50 years later, than it was, or at the time of the day. I mean, that's been several years ago, but you know what I'm saying. So 50 years later, it was still very painful, very difficult. And so obviously what this older gentleman had a hard time doing was to get out of his flesh and to live by the Spirit. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where, folks, we've got to learn to get out of our flesh. you know, I'm a member of several groups on Facebook, and just trying to connect with different groups out there and get the word out about Way of Truth Radio. And one of the things I put up this week was just a little picture, a little flyer, photo, whatever, that said, "Hey, have you been hurt by the church? If so, you know, we'd like to hear from you." Now, I'll be honest with you, we had several responses, and I've read the responses that came in on that, and you know, it's just apparently obvious that people have been wrong. They feel like they've been wrong, and they still carry that around with them. I didn't read a lot about resolution. I didn't read a lot about how they were able to overcome. And so what I want to do is be able to focus on this show and say, in the course of this series, and say, hey, what we need to do is we need to figure out a way where we can find forgiveness, and in turn that will give us peace, and we can go on, just like Barrett said, and we can go on and serve in our spiritual gifts and not be robbed of the joy of serving the Lord and being out there on the front lines. And so that's so important. But, you know, I guess what I'm saying in all that is we've got to be careful not to let a bitter root take hold. And what do I mean by bitter root? You know, most people I talk to that have been hurt by the church or hurt by somebody else that's quote-unquote a Christian, and, you know, there's this – you can feel it. It's almost like a spirit, you know, just coming off the drugs and demons thing. We're talking a lot about demonic oppression and spiritual oppression. It's almost like a spirit that's over them. It's a bitter root that has taken hold and it has grown. And quite honestly, a lot of times, let's be honest, we are the ones that cultivate it. We are the ones that let it grow. Rather than cutting it off and digging it out, we sit there and let it grow, and we let those roots finger out, and we let them continue to spread. And, you know, the longer you let something like that go and the more it spreads out, the harder it is to weed it out and get it out. And so what we want to be careful as Christians to do is not to let that bitter root take hold in us, okay? We've got to cut it out. We've got to deal with it. And, you know, we've got to realize, too, that God has a role to play in all this. If you feel like you're completely in the right in terms of the scripturally, the way that things were handled, and that you were wronged and they were completely out of line, and they refused to reconcile with you biblically, can I just offer this to you? Can I just offer to you that what really you need to do is to let God handle them, okay? Let God handle the situation. What you have to do is forgive them. Offer them forgiveness, whether they ask for it or not. And I actually got into this discussion this week about whether or not if somebody asks for your forgiveness, or should you give them forgiveness even if they don't ask. I'm offering to you and proposing to you that you learn to forgive them in spite of the fact if they don't. And let me just give you a quick illustration on this. In my personal situation, I had to learn quickly was, you know, number one, I was very thankful that God had given me what I felt was that word in my spirit about putting my faith and trust in Him, and that He was the rock, and that if I don't put it in my faith and trust in God and Jesus, and who is the rock, the foundation, the firm foundation, everything else is sinking sand. And so if I hadn't done that, I would have been on some pretty shaky sand, and so I don't know if I would have been able to forgive and move on the way that I did. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not tooting my own horn. It probably took me the better part of a year and a half, 2 years to fully feel like I had forgiven that. I did a lot of self-examination. You know, I've involved in prison ministry, and part of that prison ministry is they always have a forgiveness ceremony every Saturday night. And not only the inmates take part of that, but also they ask the team to take part of that. And part of that ceremony is they have you write down a list of anybody that you feel like you need to forgive, or that you have something against, or somebody that has something against you even. And they just ask you to write those names down on a piece of paper, a piece of rice paper, and they have this ceremony, and you kind of go up and then as a group, and you put it in a bowl of water, and you watch that rice paper with those names written on it completely dissolve to nothing. I mean, the ink and everything seemed to disappear in the water. It's pretty amazing, actually, and very powerful visual illustration. And, you know, I went through that ceremony, and I'll be honest with you, I wrote the same couple names down. It probably took me 3 or 4 times, and before I could go and actually go in there and really not have a name to write down on a piece of rice paper. So, you know, I'm just saying that we've got to find ways to free up ourselves, because, you know, if I let that take hold and hold me back, I think about all the riches of the kingdom of God that I would have missed because I was so bitter. All the joy of serving in the kingdom and serving in ministry that I would have missed. And, you know, the reality is, folks, is that people are people. And, you know, I've met so many people that have been hurt, and I understand it. Like I said, firsthand experience. I'm ministering to you right now. I have been through it, okay? I came out on the other side of it. And I'm telling you, with Jesus, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know, no matter how bad you've been hurt, even if you've been sexually abused in the church by a priest or something like that, or somebody in authority in the church, I'm telling you, I promise you that there is peace and there is forgiveness through Jesus. Because he is the great physician. He's the one that's able to heal you. Jesus can heal you, but you got to be willing to accept the medication. You know what I mean? You got to be willing to accept the fact that he stands ready to heal your wounds. He stands ready to pick you up and hold you when you don't feel like you can walk anymore. You don't need medication. You need to have a loving relationship with Jesus. Jesus will heal you. I promise you that. Press into Jesus. You know, these are opportunities for us to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus if we really look at it and we really consider it. So, you know, I want to read another verse to you guys too, and I just want to set the table. What I've been doing here is just kind of setting the table for us and for this series, and that is that there's hope and there's peace. And we're going to get into some stories and some testimonies and things like that about some abuses in the church and try to unpack how we could potentially help people that are in similar situations. We're going to do all that. But I wanted to set the table today. I wanted to set the table and start off by for us to consider and for us to be praying for pastors and people in leadership, because just like I said, they are on the front lines and they are getting hurt as much, if not more, than most people. And so we really need to be in prayer for them. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. You know, I suggest to you that if somebody's wronged you or hurt you, you need to be praying for them, right? Praying that they come to repentance, praying that God would heal them, whatever wrongs they've had in their lives. You know, one of the things Pastor Barton said last week was, and he made a great point, and I've heard this point made before. He said, hurt people hurt people. And I've heard that saying so many times. And so usually if we start to unpack, you know, people that are hurting other people probably have had some things in their past that have made them kind of that way. And so we need to be praying for that and praying for healing for them. And it's just amazing when I turned my personal situation over to God, it was amazing to watch God go to work. Not only in my life and to reaffirm me and to open up even more doors for me and and I know it was because of the faithfulness I had and putting my trust in him and my faith in him and offering forgiveness. I know that's the only reason. But I'll tell you, God handled that situation 1,000 times better than I ever could have on my own. You know what I mean? I mean, I could have ranted and raved, and I had every kind of thought run through my head. I had thoughts of putting flyers on cars during a service and calling out names and all this and that. And, you know, that was just the devil. That was just the devil trying to get into my flesh. And you know, God quickly dealt with me on that and, you know, showed me that that was not the right way and the proper way. And ultimately, he just said, trust me, Brent. You know, can't you just trust me? And, you know, when I did that, I'll tell you, I mean, he handled it so much better than I ever could have handled it, so much better. But I do want to read this verse to you because it actually came up in the course of talking to Pastor Alan Dayton, and we were talking about a brother that was going through some things with a church that he's in, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But it's 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11, and again, it's from the NIV just because it reads a little easier. But 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11, and this is really, really Paul's instruction to the church about forgiveness, right? And we need to, this is a model, we need to be modeling this, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you. Now remember, Paul's writing to the churches, and so basically Paul's not necessarily there all the time. So what he's saying is yeah, he's not so much grieved me as he's grieved all of you, because you guys deal with it all the time. And so he says, it grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely, but the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test to be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Now let's unpack that verse just a little bit. What Paul was saying to him was, you know what? Be quick to forgive. The fact that you guys probably publicly, corporately, with the majority, rebuked this person, that was sufficient enough, right? We don't have to continue to beat a person down. We don't have to continue to gossip about people. Basically, his embarrassment about the whole situation is probably sufficient enough. And so what Paul was urging them to do was to quickly forgive this person. And again, and I think it's the concept of the bitter root, so that that doesn't take hold. And so that the person that stumbled or made the mistake, and whatever the mistake was, I didn't read far enough to if it even described what this particular individual may have done. But the reality of the situation is you have to be quick to forgive, because if you don't, Satan might outwit them. And what he meant by that is that Satan will get a hold of you. Satan will get you. He will get you. And so we don't want to let him outsmart us on this. We want to make sure we're forgiving. We want to make sure we bring that person back into the church. That's what I was saying earlier, you know, when we talked about it earlier. And that was the point about not letting that bitter root take hold, and how the world, or how unchurched people are watching, right? And how we deal with stuff, and how things are dealt with in the church. And honestly, the way we deal with stuff in the church, we're not supposed to be like the world. The world would say if somebody made a mistake, oh, they've got that on their record for the rest of their life, or they've got this, or they've got that. The church's response is supposed to be, yes, you made a mistake, but you've repented. And we want to see you recovered, and we want to see you come back in, and we want to love you, right? We got to be quick. That's that grace component that we're talking about. And so, that's just such a powerful verse. I was so glad Alan shared that with me. But, you know, so that's the intro to this whole series, is that I want to lay that framework of how we can find forgiveness, how we can find peace. I know you've been hurt. I know that you're probably still hurting. I could tell it in the text on Facebook. It was so amazing. I could just feel the hurt that was still there, and a lot of you guys responding. And I'll tell you, I just want you to be whole. I just want you to be whole. And right now, if you're carrying that around and that bitter root has taken hold, you're not whole, and you're never going to be whole. And that's what I want. I want you to be whole. Seen it so many times. I want my brothers and sisters to be whole, so that they can feel like they can are worthy, and that they can serve, and they're not carrying this undue burden around. So, you know, talking about some of the abuses that I've seen in the church, just transitioning here into the next phase of this a little bit. You know, I've seen people. I'll tell you one group of people that I see that get abused a lot are people that are divorced or that have gone through a divorce. I've been in denominations where they are just really, I mean, they are just one step from hell if they get divorced. I mean, it's literally you've punched your ticket, okay? It's a done deal. You're going to hell. There's very little you could do. And what a shame. What a travesty, especially when you consider that population in America, roughly 50% of them have been divorced and remarried at least once, if not multiple times. And so, wow, that's a lot of people that we can't minister to. That's a lot of people we can no longer reach. That's a lot of people whose God's grace isn't sufficient enough for, right? I mean, that's a lot of people whose God's grace is not sufficient enough for, right? Yeah, my grace is sufficient, Paul, for all the things you deal with. But boy, that divorce thing, I draw the line there. Grace isn't sufficient enough for that. I mean, divorce people really, I mean, they are a big section of, and I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand with my sister. I've seen it firsthand with my mother, who's been divorced and remarried. I mean, I've seen that and lived that out too. Now, myself, praise the Lord, I've been married, you know, to my wife for over 20 years. And so I know it's because we put our faith and trust in Jesus, but I'm just telling you, it's not been an easy road. My heart goes out to those people that have been chastised and put down and basically looked down upon or frowned upon because of divorce in their lives. Some of the other abuses, I see a lot of situations where people in the position of authority, abuse that power, and they lord it. They do the very thing that the Bible asks them not to do, and that is don't lord that over people. And my goodness, I see that a lot. I see a lot of elders lording over people. I've seen pastors lording over congregations, and it's a shame. It's a crying shame that the people that should know the most and know the best, know that they shouldn't the most, are the ones, the very ones that are doing it. And I'll tell you why. It's because really they should have never been in that position in the first place. Their hearts weren't right. And if their hearts were ever right, they at some point something happened and they switched and they pretty much disqualified themselves from being in that position. But because of their own pride or politics and their own ambition, they're too prideful to step down. All right. And it was all about, are they approached the eldership or a shepherding role with a corporate mentality? And, you know, I've done this in the corporate world and in the community. And so this is just one more thing. I'm going to be the head of that. And I look at me and, you know, and so wrong. I mean, just the wrong attitude from the very get go. I mean, just wrong. And so you bring that in. And it kind of has an effect of it's going to be my way or the highway, pal. And if you don't like it, you know what? There's the road. Get out. Oh, by the way, we're getting a police restraining order. You can never step foot on the church property again, which I heard quite a few of, by the way. And I know Pastor Allen could share a thing or two about that as well. So I'm just saying it doesn't matter what the reasons are, right? It's kind of like that comment we made about demonic oppression and people that were using either prescription drugs versus illegal drugs. Didn't matter how you got there, you still, at the end of the day, that both paths led to the same destination. And so we look at these abuses I just rattled off, and I'm just saying it doesn't matter which one of those you kind of fell into, they all kind of lead to the end result is still the same, and that is hurt people. That is people that are godly people that love the Lord, but that have been hurt so bad. Some of them hurt so bad that it shakes the foundations of their faith. You know, that's one of my biggest fears. I'll be honest with you that far too often that people get blown out of the faith. And I speak to this from experience in my own personal situation. I was blown out of the church by an elder for 20 something years. Left the church, when I was about 17. Until I was well into my 30s, and I just the experience I had with him was so inexcusable. It was just handled so wrongly by him, and it was it's just like the devil. It's just like the devil, because I was at a time where I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. Would I go on to college? Was I going to do something else? I really wasn't sure what I was going to do. And so I went to church on a Wednesday night. I went to church on a Wednesday night for the first time as a teenager, really pursuing God on my own. It's like the first time I really felt like it was really the first time I was exercising a relationship with God. And, because before I'd always just been, I always tell people, when I was young, I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, went to, Bible school, Christian school, the other 5 days of the week. I had a drug problem. That's a joke. I mean, looking back on it now, I'm very thankful for it. But I'm just saying it wasn't my relationship as much as it was just my upbringing. And so this was a night when I was really pursuing a relationship with God, really seeking his counsel, and just felt like, man, I'm just going to go over there this Wednesday night during the worship service, and then they would break out into, classes afterwards. And had no desire to really stay for the class, just wanted to go and worship God and just listen to the brief message and just kind of just try to get in my mind on God and try to, just pray over there as I was sitting in the pews. And after everything was over, I left and was walking home, and it was a dark, it was a bad part of Indianapolis, and walking across this dark field and felt this huge hand grab my arm and just jerk me around. And I honestly thought I was going to get mugged. I was fully expecting to either have a gun shoved in my face or get punched or something like that. But I was just utterly shocked when I got spun around that it was an elder who was berating me for leaving and not going to a class. And it just, being a teenager, my flesh came out, and you know how teenagers are. I don't have to explain it to any of you, but I mean, the reality of the situation was is that after it all went down and I jerked my arm away and walked on home, I pretty much just said, you know, God, if this is what this is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. And then from that point on, I was pretty much done. I really lived for myself, lived for the world, got involved in the New Age. And so now, you know, fast forward all these years later, that I got born again and truly born of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I tell you, I just, my heart goes out because I think how many other people are out there that's faith is just not strong enough or it's just getting going, and something like this, somebody in the church hurts them and it just blows them out, if not for 20 years, for good, you know? And so that is something we need to be so careful of, how we deal with people, even if they've done something wrong, how we deal with them. I'm not saying we make excuses for them. I'm certainly not saying we don't deal with the issue if it comes to light. I'm just saying that we need to be, just like Paul said in this passage in Corinthians, we deal with it, we let that sink in for them, we see that they come to some repentance, and we are super quick to forgive and to bring them back in, lest Satan, you know, devise his schemes and wreck that person's faith and or wreck our faiths as a result of it. So very important. I mean, just an important concept. And so, you know, I've seen it firsthand. Like I said, I've seen it, and I don't know how far I really want to go into it to this on this first show. I'm actually probably thinking I'm going to kind of wait till next week to kind of wrap all this up. And this is going to be probably a shorter show, but I just wanted to set the table. That's more than anything tonight. I just wanted to kind of set the table for everybody. This is a pre-recorded show, so the call-in lines won't be open tonight. It won't get you anywhere if you call in tonight. But moving forward, these shows are going to be live, and so you can call in, and we want to hear from you. But most importantly, what I would like to do right now is, if you've been hurt by the church and you have not been able to find that forgiveness or that peace in your heart and that peace that surpasses all understanding, would you do me a favor? Would you email us at Way of Truth and just in the subject line, just put hurting. You know, if you want to share your story, share your story. But if you'll just put in the subject line hurting, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you. Okay, we're going to pray for you and pray over you. I'll get Pastor Alan and Pastor Mark and maybe Pastor Bill out west. All of us will pray for you, and we'll pray for your healing and for God to touch you and to come alongside you and encourage you. So if you want to do that and you would like to have prayer, just email us, and the email is, and I'll say it a couple times, it's wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. Very important that you don't type the Way of Truth, because it won't come in. It's wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. And if you'll just email us there and put in the subject line hurting, we'll know what that means, and we will set about praying for you. If you want to share a story or testimony or whatever, that's fine. We'll read it. But we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray that we want to get you whole, okay? We want to get you whole again, and so that you can be effective for the kingdom and get out there and be. We need, man, the harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few, and it seems to be getting fewer. We need more workers. And so if something like that's holding you back, we need to get you whole so you can get back out there and get in the fight, and, you know, get on fire for Jesus again, get on fire for the Lord, and just start pursuing that. So, hey, you know, if you want to connect with us again, I try to say this every week, just trying to get people to point them more towards Facebook at this point, is that is the best way to connect with us, is through Facebook. And so if you just go to facebook.com/Way of Truth Radio, you're gonna, and like our page, that's where you're gonna see what's going on, what topics we're on, and what the new series are gonna be, things like that. We post inspirational posts on there as well, things like that. So that is by far the best way for you to connect with me and connect with us at Way of Truth Radio. And I'm so thankful for you guys, and I just know that this series is going to be a powerful, powerful series. I've just talked to so many people that are hurting, and I also have talked to people that have found victory in it, myself being one of them. And so I know we can overcome this together. I know we can do this together. And so if you'll just allow yourself to be touched by the Lord, and you will allow us to come alongside you and minister to you through this series, I know it's going to be a huge, huge blessing to you. So again, connect with us through Facebook at Way of Truth Radio. And if you're hurting and you want prayer, just go to wayoftruthradio@gmail.com, and in your subject line, just write hurting, and we will be glad to pray for you. I'm excited about this series, folks, and I look forward to next week, and we'll start diving into some testimonies and probably have one of the either Pastor Mark or Pastor Al on here with us and just kind of unpack things, and we'll go a little deeper next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate all of you.